Fellow auto detailers, welcome to the show that features interviews with today's most successful auto detailers. This is the Auto Detailing Podcast. Here's your host, Jimbo Balaam.
Today's sponsor of the show is Bluehost. Bluehost offers domains and hosting. If you're looking at buying a domain name or hosting your current domain name, head on over to autodetailingpodcast.com/website. I've worked out a deal with Bluehost for special discounts and offers for Auto Detailing Podcast listeners. And it also helps me out too. Gives me a little bit of kickback for each one of you that sign up through that website, autodetailingpodcast.com/website, where you can get a free domain name with a hosting plan. So head on over to autodetailingpodcast.com/website and pick up that free domain with any hosting package.
Welcome to episode 224 of the Auto Detailing Podcast. I'm Jimbo, your host. Hey, thanks for the download. We are in the middle of this series with Damien from Final Inspection Auto Boutique in Melbourne, Australia. There's my Australian accent coming out again for you guys. Probably not that good and probably a disgrace to you guys. Sorry about that. Anyway, don't forget, we're doing a giveaway of a box chock full of samples. Actually, they're going to be not only sample sizes, they're going to be legit sizes of Final Inspection products. It's going to be the body shampoo. So if you guys want to try the zero bucket method, there's going to be some of that. There's going to be some glass cleaner. There's going to be maybe a little bit of compound, cap heavy, cap light, anyone? Maybe some towels, just a box of goodies handpicked by me. You're welcome. And we're going to be doing one giveaway each week for the month of March. So there's going to be four giveaways. Every Monday, a new episode is going to be released. And every week, we're going to be picking out a winner and sending that box of free stuff out to them. And if you're not one of those lucky winners, again, consider yourself lucky in the fact that Damien has offered for a very, very limited time. So if you haven't moved on it yet, please move on it. Half off of Final Inspection stuff. Half off. I know you guys like a deal, and I worked this deal specifically for you guys for just being awesome. So go to autodetailingpodcast.com/final inspection. That's autodetailing.com/final inspection. If you don't know how to spell that, you can just go to autodetailingpodcast.com and click final inspection. And everything there is going to be half off. I really encourage you guys to check out the product. At least try it. At least try it. If you don't like it, if you buy it, try it, don't like it, shoot me a message. And we'll work something out. That's how confident I am that you guys will really, really like this stuff. So I hope you enjoy this episode today with Damien. We're continuing the conversation of cap heavy, cap medium, and cap light, and non-diminishing abrasives, and what non-diminishing abrasives actually mean. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Don't forget to enter your email to enter in to win free stuff or get half off. Not a bad deal. And don't forget to hit up Damien on Facebook, Final Inspection Auto Boutique, and tell him you heard about him through the Auto Detailing Podcast. All right, guys, enjoy this one.
Okay, Jimbo.
And once again, we have Damien from Final Inspection Auto Boutique in Australia. And Damien, it's amazing. In 3 weeks, you haven't moved, you haven't aged. All you've gotten is an extra glass of water. So it's amazing.
Thanks, Jimbo.
And for everyone else listening, if you didn't get that, well, rewind and listen again. So Damien has just been giving a ton of knowledge the past 2 weeks about kind of mind-bending stuff like a zero bucket method. And then last week we were talking about your clustered abrasive polishes. Did I get it?
Yeah, cap for short, but cap stands for clustered abrasive polish. Yeah.
Let's just stick with cap now, okay? Because as detailers, we like abbreviations or acronyms anyway, so we'll just stick with that. So in the last episode, we talked about how eventually you see, and I would agree with you, if we could work down to one polish or one compound or compound polish combo, I guess, that would be ideal. And you said that you feel within the next 10 or 20 years, we'll actually achieve that. Am I correct?
I'm hoping for the sake of every detailer that we achieve that.
Cool. Me too.
I think it's bad for business if we
true.
If we sell one polish instead of three. But that's the way we should go. That's the most useful polish would be to, or the most efficient polish would be one that starts the cutting process and refines down to a very, very high glossing finish in one step. In fact, I take it further. The ultimate goal would be to have your protection built into that step as well. So basically an AIO that would do some very, very heavy correction. It would remove, say, 2,000 grit sanding marks and would finish up with 95 gloss units and would have your paint protection built into the finish. So eventually that's where it's going. But also in 10 to 15 years' time, we may have self-healing paint that actually works.
That's
so
true.
Where you might not require cutting compounds. That's scary.
That is interesting. I want to stay away from that rabbit trail and really focus on the cap technology. And we talked about in the last episode a little bit of the difference between a term that people may or detailers may be more familiar with, as in, and that term is non-diminishing abrasives, and the difference between the cap and the non-diminishing abrasives. If you want to hear that kind of dialogue, head back to the previous episode, and you will find that there. But let's kind of get deeper into the cap idea behind that and all that. And by the way, I used the, when I heard you say you were going to do away with the cap medium, I was kind of like, oh, I used the cap medium on a 1989 911 Speedster the other day. And man, it was red. And you told me, hey, look, it's faster than any products that are maybe out there right now as far as how quickly you can kind of blow through each panel, but how efficiently and how well it actually works. And man, you weren't lying. I was blowing through that car.
Good to hear. Yeah, cap medium was the intermediate step in a three-step system. So we had a heavy, medium, and ultra-fine polish. The ultra-fine was the polish. The heavy was the heavy cutting compound. And a cap medium, which you used, was our intermediate polish. Unfortunately for a good old cap medium, the cap heavy polish finishes just as fine as cap medium did, but cuts heavy. And the new fine, the updated version of ultra fine, starts cutting as heavy as medium and finishes up much, much finer. So there was an overlap. As we started to optimize the polishes, there was this huge overlap, and it's unfortunate, but cap medium is no longer required for that reason. You can use cap heavy, which will do everything cap medium will do and more. And if you didn't need that kind of cutting power, you could use cap ultra fine, which would cut just as well as medium did, but finish up a lot finer. So cap medium will be deleted from the range, and we'll have just two polishers, which is a nice efficient set of polishers that we use for all our cars. If people who haven't listened to the older podcasts last week and the week before, we explained how we detail cars on a weekly basis or on a daily basis at Fine Inspection. We're one of the very few car care companies, if only the only car care company, I'm not sure, that actually has in-house detailers who detail cars every day for paying customers too. Those very efficient polishers are so important to our business. As professional detailers, they're what helps us to deliver some amazing results for customers within a short amount of time. And that does two things. It means the customer has their car off the road for less time. It means that customer has a more efficient, therefore cheaper detailing service.
Right.
And other professional detailers, not us because we only detail one car a day, but for other car detailers, professionals, it means they may be able to have a second or third or fourth car complete in that one day. Also, what it does is enable you to do more steps or more stages. So when we cut with a very efficient, do you need a hand, Daniel?
That's all good. It's a good segue to say, because we've mentioned it on the previous episodes, that if you want to look at the video edition of this audio podcast, just search Jimbo on Google and my YouTube channel will pop up, or Auto Detailing Podcast in YouTube, or Final Inspection on YouTube, and you can get the video format and see a Damien and his studio where he's recording. So if you hear any little bit of background noise, it's because we are doing an audio and a video format. And Damien has a water boy. So there we go. You may hear the water boy talking. Proceed, Damien.
we'll have to edit this out. The cameraman's just making some adjustments. Sorry, Jimbo.
No, I probably won't edit it out. Just fair warning.
What were we talking about? I've lost my way. We're talking about the efficiency of the the cap range.
Yes, because so, as a product manufacturer or a product company, to delete a product out of your arsenal, or not out of your arsenal, but out of your range, is kind of, it's most product companies wouldn't do it because they're thinking profits, but you guys are actually thinking of the detailer in mind as an efficiency and profitability to the detailer. So that's one aspect I love, but that was kind of a side note. But carry on.
Yeah, well, if a product has become obsolete, then there really is no reason to keep it alive in the product range. New products will come on board. We're not too phased with having a product become obsolete. A new product will come into the range, and it's that's fine. As long as the car care range that we have is efficient and every product provides an actual solution, and there's no filler in the range, we're happy with our range of car care.
Right. Awesome. Everything okay on your guys' end?
Oh, good.
Okay. So, difference between cap heavy and cap medium, or sorry, cap ultra fine, would just be the cutting ability, but also the finishing ability. But you did say that the cap heavy will finish out very nicely, right? Depending on the pad and tool that you choose.
So we use often we won't use cap ultra fine very often. We use cap ultra fine on one or two cars a week, if that.
Okay.
Usually we finish up with cap heavy, okay. Which might sound bad to people who aren't familiar with that product. They might think, well, why didn't you do a second step with cap ultra fine for more gloss? And that's true. If there were no compromises that we had to look out for, if there were no budgets in mind, we could do two passes with cap heavy and two or three passes with cap ultra fine and achieve an even better finish. But there's always a budget in mind with a customer. A customer will generally, for our details, they're all around $1,000 Australian for a very simple correction. So a lot of our customers are returning customers. They come back every year to 18 months, and they want a basic service with very small amount of correction, and they want to keep the budget as low as possible. To achieve that, we need a really efficient polish that's able to remove all those imperfections that they've accumulated in the last year of maintenance as quickly as possible. And we need to obviously achieve a finish that looks glossy enough so that we can seal it, and it's it looks the way it should. It should have around 90 gloss units. It should be the type of finish you'd expect on a new car, regardless of how old the car is. For us, cap heavy achieves that. We achieve 90 gloss units whilst achieving a decent amount of cutting power with that one polish in the one step. That's terribly important. That product is terribly important to our detailing business because it allows our detailers to be that efficient. We can offer awesome paint correction services that are relatively affordable, considering how many imperfections we're removing and the gloss that we're delivering in that time frame. The time is what determines the cost to the customer.
Right.
And the more time, the more cost, and also the more inconvenience. If a customer wants their car turned around in one day, your systems have to be very efficient. And if they want their budget to be as low as possible, your systems have to be very efficient. So we rely on very efficient materials to make sure that that job is completed in the amount of time required to meet both those requirements, the budget requirements and the time requirements. Also, and in Australia especially, I'm sure it's this way in the US, but especially in Australia, labor is your most expensive component of a detail.
Yes.
As the boss of a car care product company, but also as a professional detailing company, I know that most of our costs come from the professional detailer who is working on the car, providing those services.
Yes.
Every hour we have a certain amount of costs. We have materials, we have utilities, we have labor, and we have some other other costs. But the biggest cost every hour is our labor. Our labor will be well over $20 per hour. Our materials will be $2 to $3 per hour, and utilities will be even less than that. Utilities and rent will be even less than that. So, and we look at it, we look at everything down to the most efficient, to making efficient methods. So we look at our costs per hour. And how are we going to reduce those costs to reduce the cost of the service to the customer? And to reduce the most expensive component, which is your labor, you need to have the most expensive materials. Mm. If you use cheap polish, you may extend your labor from 4 hours a day to 8 hours a day. And if it's $20 an hour, we're just using round figures.
Yeah,
if it's $20 an hour, you've got 4 extra hours, you've got $80 at the end of the day, and you've only turned over one job that you could complete if you're efficient in 4 hours.
Right.
But you've completed that in 8 hours. You've spent $80 more in labor, and if your job is $1,000, you've lost $1,000 turnover for that day. If you spend $5 or $10 a bottle more on an efficient polish, and that allows you to reduce the time it takes for the paint correction component, which, as we said, is the biggest component of your professional detailing job, down by a few hours, let's say 4 hours, which I doubt, but let's just 4 hours.
Yeah, you've saved $80,
and you've allowed your detailer to be able to complete one whole other job for another $1,000. If the bottle of polish costs $5 to $10 more, it still only costs you about 50 cents more per hour in materials.
Sorry,
no. As a decent company, I would add 50 cents an hour to remove $10 to $15 an hour any day of the week.
Right. That's my, you know, I saw a comment on a Facebook thing the other day, and it was like, you know, what's about this other detailer chimed in and was just talking about efficiency and cost per hour and stuff like that. And this guy chimed in and said, what's wrong with a 20-hour paint correction? You know, and there's nothing wrong with a 20 or 100 or however many hour paint correction you want to spend. But what it comes down to is, realistically, if your shop wants to produce $100 an hour and you do a, you know, 20-hour paint correction, is a customer really willing to pay your $100 an hour for 20 hours, you know? And maybe some customers are, I don't know, you know, but
every time I see, and this happens a lot now. And the first, back in 2009, in 2007, we introduced the world's most expensive detail at $18,000 Australian. And in 2010, we had a customer that booked in for one of those services.
Wow.
And since then, I've seen a lot of those 100-hour, 200-hour, 300-hour details, and I've actually seen some of those in the flesh. And if you're the poor customer who paid someone to work 200 hours on that car, I really feel sorry for you, because 200 hours sounds impressive, but if it's full of inefficiencies, it's actually not not impressive at all. For us to work 50 or 60 hours on a car is a lot of work. And after about 60 hours, there's really not much more you can do to a car. That car there, which is used all the time and was in a bad way, and you'll see a video soon of how bad it was before we detailed it, that had 40 hours of work go into it this week, and it's concourse now. It should win a concourse tomorrow with 40 hours work, and that's a car that is properly driven and properly used. Most detailers that use this, and it's a great marketing gimmick, this 100 hours or 200 hours, would achieve about the same in 200 hours. It sounds more impressive because they spent 200 hours in the car, but to me it just sounds like a bunch of inefficiencies.
Well, and I would completely agree with you, and that's kind of my gripe with it, is that it's like, cool, you spent 200 hours and it looks sexy and it looks cool when you do your Facebook post and your 4 million picture write-up, but it's like at the end of the day, did you make any money? You know, could you, like to your point, could you have achieved the same result in half the time and actually spent time with your family or spent time at home or whatever? And so I don't have a gripe with taking a long time to detail a car. My gripe is, you know, did you make any money doing it? Because if you didn't, then in my eyes, that kind of limits the wow factor of the detail. You know, if you break down your hourly wage and you're under minimum wage, you know, and you put that much effort, energy, and time into something to make literally no money, in my book, it's kind of like, what was the point of even doing it? So that's my gripe.
And that's the problem with most of those details, honestly. I have a good look at them and I say, there's not 200 hours here. And if that is 200 hours and that guy comes to ask for a job with final inspection, he won't be working here as a detailer. It's common. It's a fad, I think, that will pass. There's a lot of fads. It's in the detailing industry.
Yeah,
to me, it's just like having two buckets with grit separators in them. It's a lot more time to set up. It's a lot more time to fill buckets full of water. The quality is reduced and the efficiency is reduced. The 100-hour, 200-hour details usually are just like that two-bucket system there. There is a whole bunch of inefficient processes built in that then require you to spend 200 hours. You're not spending 200 hours because the car requires that. It's because and sometimes it's not even because they need that too. It's just that 200 or that 100 or whatever. Someone who's great with marketing will say, 150 hours. Let's spend 150 hours. Let's spend enough time to achieve this finish. Let's spend 150 hours so we can make a, as you said, a 100 image write up with justifying that number,
right,
or 200, so we can sell that awesome sounding detailing process. But and we've done this before, so we did spend a couple of weeks on that car behind us initially. That car was came from Spain, and it was in a bad way. It hadn't been driven for years, hadn't been washed for years, and it's the kind of car where you can't leave it like that. It has
right.
to be. It was almost sad to see it. It was a great condition car, very, very good condition car. It was just filthy. And we did spend two detailers spent a couple of weeks cleaning, just cleaning it. And that all those processes were very efficient, but it did take that amount of time, a lot of time. It's just that sometimes those 100 or 200 hours, not sometimes, most of the time I see them, it's the inefficiencies that lead to that huge number that you hear of.
They took 90 hours taking photos.
If the detailer is taking the photos, yes. If the detailer is taking photos, then half of the time, or definitely more than half of the time, you're not going to have that detailer actually working on the car. Is that included in the 100 hours? We would normally hire our water boy here to take photos if you're going to do such a large job.
You know what you never see is a 100-hour detail on a minivan. Because that would make sense. A used minivan could take 100 hours.
that would just the interior would take 100 hours.
What is your personal favorite combination, or what do you find yourself reaching for the most when you are doing a, let's say, a light to moderate paint correction on a car? What is kind of your go-to pad and machine for pad machine and compound for a light to moderate paint correction?
Yeah, sure. So it's always cap heavy, and it's not going to sound romantic because I don't have 16 different polishes.
But a lot of times, efficient and profitable detailing is not sexy detailing. So I'm good with that. I'm good with not being sexy.
We only have two polishes, so
right.
And cap heavy is the polish I reach for most of the time, and most cars are finished with cap heavy. I usually reach for, I like rotary polishes.
Sure.
I'm still a rotary guy.
Okay.
I think rotary polishes, and nobody will agree with me, but I still think rotary polishes are by far the best machine.
Matt Gibb will agree with you.
If you're a professional detailer.
Right.
If you're not a professional detailer or you're very low skilled, then perhaps some of the new random orbit polishes would be better for you. It's a good question because I constantly hear detailers, I have detailers tell me to my face that the new random orbit 8mm, 12mm, 21mm force rotation, non-force rotation machine is better than a rotary polisher. And I've heard this so many times, and I don't understand it. I don't understand where this has come from. And one day I had a good chat to another professional detailer who agreed with me about the rotary polisher being by far the best tool for the job for a highly skilled tradesman. And we understood, we came to the conclusion that a rotary polisher is like a Formula One car. This is the analogy that we like to use. It is very difficult to use, and an amateur who steps into a Formula One car would barely be able to get it moving, let alone achieve end center lap times. So for that reason, I think people who use rotary polishers that are low skilled will find them that they're not producing the same finish as their random orbit polisher. They're getting a better finish from their random orbit polisher, but it's not because the rotary polisher is an old machine that's not as good. It's because the rotary polisher is the Formula One car of detailing machines, detailing tools. It requires significant skill to use. Very, very, you have to be a very skilled operator to understand how to finish off black cars with a rotary polisher. But once you do understand that, it is better. A Volkswagen Golf R will lap a track much quicker than a Formula One car would if you have the average Joe in it. The average driver will not be able to lap a track at all in a Formula One car. They'll spin out, they'll stall, they just won't get be able to get moving. So they'll get around the track in their Volkswagen Golf faster. That's what an RO is. An RO is a machine you can pick up and very quickly with no skill and with very little risk, it's a very safe machine, be able to have very, very nice finishes. The latest stuff, and we have our Velvet Revolver, which is our random orbital machine, which is designed to be cheap at sub $200. It's designed to be very, very safe. Has a clutching mechanism, so it will stop spinning if it too much load. It's 8mm of orbit, so it's very safe if you come up to edges. It doesn't have a huge throw.
Right.
It's a great machine that will achieve a very nice finish. And in the hands of an unskilled operator, it will achieve a better finish than that unskilled operator is able to achieve with a rotary polisher. So coming back to answer your question, my favorite machine is a rotary polisher. My favorite pad is we have a pad called an Orange HD. The HD stands for high density, so all our pads are labeled. We explain how dense those pads are, and the density will affect cutting and finishing characteristics of that pad, and cap heavy. So cap heavy on an Orange HD pad with a rotary polisher, that is a very, very nice combination. It gives you more than enough cut. It gives you some really, really nice finishing characteristics. We'll have to tweak that. Obviously, we need a more aggressive pad if we want to cut cuts a little more aggressive.
Right.
We'll need a ultra cap ultra fine and a fine pad if we want to jewel up and refine the paint a lot. But that's my main go-to combination.
Awesome. And if people are in Australia, in other parts of the world, where can they get their hands on this cap heavy? Because I have a feeling that people listening right now are going to be like, I have to at least try it. And if they're like me, you try it and you're like, oh my gosh, I got to get more of this. So where can they find it?
Finalinspection.com.au.
Perfect.
And in the States, finalinspectionusa, I think it is, .com.
Perfect.
I should really know the website for our distributor in the U.S. It's either finalinspectionus.com or finalinspectionusa.com.
Okay. I will link it in the show notes if people are interested. And you, Damien, have been gracious enough to give the listeners an opportunity to try, if you're in the U.S., to try it for half off. So if you're interested in trying Cap Heavy or any of the other products that we've been talking about, just go to autodetailingpodcast.com/finalinspection. Thanks, Damien.
Thank you, Jimbo.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Auto Detailing Podcast. Head on over to autodetailingpodcast.com for full show notes and links of everything that we've talked about today. And don't forget to check out our resources page for a direct link to all the products talked about not only on today's episode, but that I use in my day-to-day detail business. They have direct links so you can purchase and get free shipping right from that page. That's autodetailingpodcast.com. We'll see you on the next episode.